action movie.
Jeez. We are here with Ryan McGonigal. We're going
to
shoot some
here, go try
quick pickup
camera.
Shots here. Over here by where we shot the Alex Griffin stuff. We're over here going to shoot some...
Yeah, it should open.
We shoot some Black Pumpkin pickup shots just right out in front of this area. Here we go. I don't know if Ryan's pulling into this place or not. He's got his handy dandy fancy 4K camera. To shoot.
Alright, get in your costume.
Alright. And put on the pants and everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll turn off.
All right. We're now putting on some very tiny pants. These pants were worn by Joe Osmond. Joe Osmond, was that her name? Is that her name? Osmond? Yes. Joe Osmond. A little person, stunt performer.
Okay, Kurt, I'm trying to get in and out. You're trying to, like, in the podcast.
I gotta go barefoot on this one. Doing simultaneous podcasting. Ooh. So you're not going to see the face of Bloody Bobby, right?
No.
Like just the back?
See the mask.
You will see the mask?
Yeah.
Oh, so we will see his face?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. All right. Here we go. Which way are you shooting it? I don't have the morph.
I gotta figure out the angle.
Mask. I got the suit.
Never had Joe here, did we?
Mm-mm.
Did this happen?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is independent filmmaking at its finest. When you see the security footage in Black Pumpkin, just know that you were there first. You heard it first. You were there. You are here.
Come on.
The tripod giving you issues?
All right. Put that box and see if there's anywhere to plug in if you need light.
Yes, I'm setting this right here, so just keep your eyeballs on it. What box?
There's like a box right there. I just want to know.
This thing? No, that's not. I don't think that's a light.
Alright, like, that'll work. Hold on. Walk up to the... Alright, so let's do this in part. So hide your hands behind your back. Alright, so what I'm going to do is you're going to make it look like security footage. So this will work. It'll be stabilized. So first, go by the car. Just walk over to the car. I'm gonna edit this in. So, walk to the first step and just sit there. Keep your helmet down or your hood down, and then kind of look up. Yeah, keep it down. Now, kind of using your knees, kind of crawl up the stairs. Oh, that won't work. All right, just go to the next step. Just normal, just go to the next step. Still look down. Okay, do it again. Go to the next step. Keep your head down. Slowly look up at the camera. Now go to the next step. Slowly look up at the camera. Alright, now go step over here by that yellow pole. So you're completely off. No, you don't need to be, you can show your feet and everything. I'm just trying to get another blank. Alright, now walk back. Get right up to the pole. No, I'm sorry. Right up to the tripod. Far as you can. Can you get a little bit closer to the tripod? A little bit more? Alright, perfect. Now kind of pop up and look into the camera. Again? Try to get a little bit closer. No, a little bit more closer. Because I don't want to see anything. I want to get completely nothing. So bend down. Boom, 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 boom. And jump up. Boom. All right. Now kind of stand up. And we're going to get right into this camera. Right. Go down a little bit. All right. So I want you to come like this. Good. Step back. And then camera's right here. So I really want you to go into the camera. Ready? Go. Do it again. Faster. Alright, now go where you're actually kind of running up to the camera then. The best you can. Perfect. Alright, now go back to the car. Do it one more time, just so I make sure I have it. Okay, that's good. We got it. we don't on the weekends. That worked out so much better than I thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, independent filmmaking at its finest.
And that, ladies, is what's called stealing a shot.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard some behind the scenes. Now, that's right. We'll be showing Black Pumpkin on the 28th of September.
29th.
And the 29th of September. Double feature on the 29th with Bloody Bobby and Black Pumpkin. This man in his underwear in my parking lot. Here we go, ladies and gents. You were there. 12 minutes. We shot that sequence in 12 minutes. Sometimes it really does pay off to have a skeleton crew. Oh, so, here, this is what I'll do before I hop into the car. Why don't you, pull that car out? And then I'll hop in when you get out there. I'll close the gate. Ladies and gentlemen, you were there, I think, for the last shot. I think we did everything for Bloody Bobby. Ryan came out from Corona today. As you know, I did the podcasts with him and his family during the, what is being called the Holy Fire. He had to evacuate. And, now he's back. Back in his house.
Dave Uchinski.
Oh yeah, here, let me type it in. We'll talk more later, folks.
Willis snapped sometime in his 20s after being asked what he was talking about for the millionth time, and chained the family up in the basement. He fed them regularly, but ignored their pleas to free them. One day, Mr. Drummond, in his frail state, dies. Willis reflects on his life choices and melts down. He murders the rest of the family quietly with his own bare hands. 2 decades later, he still lives among their corpses, making believe they're alive. The neighbor kids now know Willis as that weird old man with the long hair and beard who is always staring.
Dave Uchinski, sir, Black Pumpkin, and Bloody Bobby.
That's right.
But, so, I took a picture of him on Instagram and I tagged it because the fire's in the background and, like, Griffin's with them. And I put, Inspirato Projecto and a fan.
Yeah, and a fan out near the burning
holy fire.
Yeah, holy fire.
And then, so we I bought Avengers Infinity. I told you this. I bought a bit, and Max watched it, and he was crying. And then a couple of days later, I put it on for Kurt, and he cries.
Yeah.
Like, this really is emotional.
Oh, man, so
he
intense.
He was really digging it, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because before, we were talking about it. He goes, oh, they make these horror, or they make these superhero movies, and they don't have the colors and everything. And
yeah.
He was just blown away. It was like everything he was asking for, just like a day.
Yeah. Earlier. It actually was like a real-life comic book. It was amazing.
Inside or outside?
Maybe outside, huh?
Outside, kind of more outside.
Is that good? We're at a place called Wahlberg's right now. We are in fact at Wahlberg's, a burger joint owned by the Wahlbergs. How did you hear about this?
It was on Colbert last night.
Oh, so you just heard about it last night?
Colbert show, CBS.
No, but like they have like their own reality show.
He put his mom on the series. They wouldn't have like.
I think it's where we're sitting. So wait, he what? Who did what?
Oh, well, what's that? I think we said.
Thank you. For some reason, the logo on the shirt reminds me of the Green Lantern symbol. I don't know why.
It is kind of like the Green Lantern symbol.
Yeah, that's a good point. This is our alcohol menus, in case you guys are interested, and then this is vegetarian menus.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Vegetarian.
So he did a, it was really kind of cool. I kind of like him, Wahlberg. But he was talking about the reality series, and he put his mom to work. He gave his mom a job making money. And every year he says, I don't want to do another year. And she's, but what am I going to do? he's got to send the contract for another year to renew it. Because he thought it was going to be a bunch of people, you know, complaining about each other. And it's not that. I guess it's a, I've never seen it, but it's a pretty cool show. But he's expanding, and he's going to have like another, he's got like, a huge, big change.
So it's about the Wahlberg family?
Wahlberg family, yeah. And they're interaction with mom there. It's always, you know, they're from Boston, and she's like, you know, tough little broad. And
Entourage is about them. You knew that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Entourage is about Mark Wahlberg.
Huh.
So when they did the Entourage movie, the real-life Mark Wahlberg and his entourage actually kind of run into the entourage group in, like, a hallway, and they have, like, a little
interesting
back and forth.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know there was a movie of that. Hi, you're on the podcast. You're famous right now. You can stay anonymous. I don't care.
She's going to punch you.
Why did I steal lemonade?
Our server is not who you think she is. She's so bashful, but she's not at all anyone that you would know. Don't worry, you're not famous.
For sure, yeah. I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about them listening to me. Okay, why did I steal lemonade?
Some people are very, very bashful. Very, very bashful. They hide from themselves.
Let me get a fountain drink. I just want a Coca-Cola.
Sir, so what can I get for you tonight?
Do you have Mountain Dew by any chance?
No, we don't have Mountain Dew.
Do you have coffee?
That's fine. We have hot coffee.
Yeah. I'll have hot coffee. That sounds delicious.
I'm heading to start with your drinks. I'll be back in a minute. Just wanted to let you know that all the burgers are cooked medium, but if you request that Marco fries, we can still do that for you.
Okay? Cool. I love that. I love that idea.
You're not making anybody nervous with that thing.
I know, it's funny. Right? They'll walk into a grocery store. Look at, they got security footage on them all day long, yet when someone pulls out a podcast, they're suddenly terrified.
Crazy.
All day long.
They got everything here. Wow. Grilled cheese is made with government cheese.
Made with what kind of cheese?
Grilled cheese is made with government cheese.
Nice.
Oh, government cheese.
No, that's like a thing. Like, government cheese. Like, people go out of their way for that.
I mean, they would give them government gets away because they buy from the cheese.
I didn't even know they did government cheese.
Yeah.
Why is that an awesome thing?
It was just a certain kind of cheese. I remember as a kid, and we would just get this huge block. My grandparents did. We had grilled cheese for like a week.
It was made by the government?
Yeah, it was like free. Like, here, come get your free cheese. Everyone got like a block.
Oh, wow.
Like, poor people. But we were poor.
So to some people, they give it away for free. Other places, you buy it at a restaurant.
Restaurant. So yeah. Because he's like from, like, you know, like a blue-collar type family and, Boston. So our grilled cheese is government, government cheese, so people can, like, actually relate to that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sure, we're on Sunset, right? That's what we're on, right?
Yeah, we're right here on the corner of Sunset Boulevard and Sunset Plaza.
Government cheese grilled cheese on Sunset.
Ooh, yes, I love that. Cheese on Sunset.
It's probably pretty good, actually. Recuerdo que they put in there.
Oh, that's... Oh, that's actually for a kid.
Oh, yeah.
That's a small burger.
government cheese is on the burgers, too.
Oh.
Oh, it's a free topping, too.
A free toppings?
Wow. That's really nice of them that they give you these toppings for free, that they don't make you pay extra for onions, pickles, tomato, lettuce, etc., etc. What do you suppose is the wall sauce? Are you going to ask him what it is?
Thousand Island.
That's right.
Isn't that where it
all, yeah, all secret sauces are Thousand Island.
What's the wall sauce there?
All right, folks, more later after we eat our government cheese. So, what are your thoughts about Wahlburgers? Did you like your...
It was okay. It was like an experience.
You had turkey.
I had turkey. I didn't have a real burger. I had turkey.
It's like a turkey dinner of sorts, right?
It was a Thanksgiving burger.
That's right. It had stuffing in it.
Stuffing and cranberries and turkey and mayo. It had mayonnaise on it.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm going to have to try mayonnaise at this year's Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
And it was, which Wahlberg?
That was Mark Wahlberg's favorite burger. That's, I guess, incredible. He's the more, like, popular Wahlberg. There's three Wahlbergs, right? Wahlberg.
I didn't even know there was the third one until I saw the menu today. Paul? Is that what his name was?
Paul, yeah. And then the secret, Jebediah Wahlberg.
That's right.
Jebediah Baldwin. Jebediah Wahlberg. Jebediah Osborne.
That's right. Jebediah Wahlberg. Brother they never speak of. The one who lives in the Amish community.
What was Donnie and Marie? What were their last names? Was that the
Osmond?
Osmond. So there was a bunch of them, right? Wasn't there like a band? Like
Yeah.
It was Donnie and Marie, but then the Osmonds, and were they like the Beach Boys type? Like what did they sing?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe it was like a Beach Boys kind of band. Oh, it's a little bit country.
That was Donnie and Marie though.
Oh. Like, did they, like, meaning they had, like, a popular song that was the family band?
I think the Osmonds were the popular one, but for some reason, Donnie and Marie got their own show. I remember watching Donnie and Marie as a kid, and there was, like, an episode where they had, like, Star Wars. And they sang, like, a disco-y type thing with, like, the Star Wars people.
Oh!
And then as a kid, I thought every episode would have Star Wars on it, and I was highly disappointed in most Donnie and Marie episodes.
Did Marie put her hair up in a... I almost mentioned she put her hair like...
I'm pretty sure she did,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was right around the time, I think, that Star Wars Hollywood Special, or episode came out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where we got a chance
Life
to see
Day.
Chewbacca's family.
Yeah, Life Day, right? Was it Life Day?
Was that the name of it?
I think it was Life Day, yeah. Carrie Fisher has a musical number. I remember that. It's really bad.
And that's where Boba Fett first premiered as an animated cartoon.
He's kind of a good guy, too.
Yeah, he battles some kind of like a Loch Ness Monster kind of thing.
No, I think he's riding it.
Oh, he's riding it?
Yeah.
Like it's his beast?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was like a cartoon. I don't know if they were trying to do a cartoon of Star Wars.
Weren't they saying they want to do a prequel of Boba Fett?
Boba Fett is always rumored to be in the works. And I think they actually greenlit it enough where someone popular is writing the script for Boba Fett movie.
Do you think they'll show a scene where he's riding on the back of one of those creatures?
A Loch Ness Monster?
That sort of tie that in? That would be kind of cool.
I wonder if they're trying to do so many Star Wars that it'll catch up in, like, recent times, because, you know, it was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago in a galaxy far, yeah, so, far away.
Like, watch
them, wow, like, so end up on Earth. Wow, so eventually they'll end up over here. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Like, in the 60s, we'll have, like, Ewoks, like, at Woodstock or something.
Wow, that would be great. Wow.
And what's considered, like, a long time ago now? You know, because, like, in the 70s, that's, you know, true, a long time ago, we're talking about, like...
Oh, geez.
But now, a long time ago, with the mean, hipsters and moly, the millennials, that could be, like, you know, like, 2010.
I mean...
a long time ago, when they were doing the prequels.
Oh, my God. A long time ago, when they were doing prequels.
Yeah, that...
Boy, that's such a good question.
When I was a kid, they had... Star Wars Saturday morning cartoons. Are you shedding or something? What are you doing?
What'd you do? Did I drop my... Oh, no, my microphone's in my pocket. Are you shedding?
They had a Saturday morning special for Star Wars at one point.
Yeah, they did. It was droids. It was droids.
Droids and Ewoks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did have the Ewoks.
I kind of remember the theme song. Ewoks.
Now, did that come around in the same time as droids? Was it?
I think it was hour, and each one had like a half hour.
Oh, they kind of, okay, gotcha. Yeah, and droids, I remember there was like the character in there, and that always baffled me as a kid growing up, like how they all related to the Star Wars universe, you know, in addition to just...
Well, if you really think about it, like C-3PO and R2-D2 are kind of like the sluts of the Star Wars universe. They're like with everybody.
That's right. They survive through everything.
Yes, they survive. They've been owned by people.
Wow. So they always seem to just include those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in whatever they do. It's pretty cool.
I think they're the only ones that's been in like every episode.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
And I think Chewbacca has, like, more screen time than, like, Luke Skywalker now.
Whoa, that's right, because, yeah, that's right. He showed up in,
Revenge of the Sith.
He was in Solo.
He was in Solo.
Oh, he was, Revenge of the Sith.
So he's been, and then he's, like, in all these new ones. So he's, like 6, 7, so 8 movies.
Wow.
Compared to, like, Luke Skywalker's been in, like, 4.
Whoa.
Do we count the one where he just shows up for, like, 8 seconds at the end? does that count?
It's true. That's true.
Did you hear the story about what they did with that? So, they did the table read, and Mark Hamill was there, and they wanted to get the picture of Mark Hamill at the table read. So they had him narrate, because he has no lines.
Oh, my God.
So when they took this big picture, people were, like, freaking the hell out on the internet.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
boy. They were trolling the internet.
And so poor Mark Hamill probably didn't even realize till the end of it that
he's like, really?
Wait a second, I was just the narrator, and where are my lines? Well, you just said them, Luke. You just said, look, you narrated it.
I'd have Mark Hamill narrate the Star Wars as the Joker or something.
Oh, that would be great. That would be very great.
Someone did that where they did like a famous voice. I think it was the guy who does Pooh Bear. And he... does it something else, but he did like one of the other characters, but it's like Pooh Bear. Maybe it was like the Joker or something like that.
Oh my God.
I remember seeing that. It was like a big thing on like one of those Comic-Con clips a couple of years ago.
Oh my God. That's great. So the guy who did the voice of Pooh Bear, actually, he did the voice of the Joker, right?
Something like that. He like did something as Pooh Bear that was completely not Pooh Bear character.
Oh my God.
Is that guy still alive, right?
Yeah, in those previews, actually, he and the original voices of Winnie the Pooh actually are doing the voices, which is so cool.
That in the Pooh Bear movie, I was a little kid. And it was, I just remember that whole belly laugh, you know, like when that one thing strikes you, it's so funny when you're a kid. And it was that when he's working out in the morning, and he's all, I am short, fat, and proud of that. I just thought that was like the funniest thing.
Oh, that's great. So this place, Is it true that Cecil B. DeMille, this was his old place that where he... His old studio over here, the Hollywood Heritage Museum?
He pretty much just
owned
Hollywood. Well, if that's where we shot... he owned something. Wasn't that the guy... Yeah, he was one of the owners of that ranch we were at when we shot Black Pumpkin. You know that, right?
The guy who owns this?
No, the CC, the mill. He was, he owned the ranch.
Oh, oh, that's
that
what you're saying.
Black Pumpkin on.
That's right. God, that is awesome.
Am I going in the right direction?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, it is the Hollywood Bowl of traffic. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's all those buses.
Yeah, fuck the Hollywood.
My brother and I saw Steely Dan here. I'm so glad we did.
Oh wow.
Man, thank God we did. I mean, that was...
I saw John Williams here with Lisa.
Wow.
And,
did they show Star Wars stuff up on a screen?
Oh,
it must
yeah.
Be cool.
Like a shitload of stuff. And he actually... this is interesting. So, he does everything, right? And he pretty much does every movie from your childhood. What do you think, out of everything that he's done, what do you think, like, is... his personal favorite is? Out of everything John Williams has done, he has, like, one personal favorite, and that's what he, like, closes it with. That's, like, his Free Bird. That's, like, his...
Boy.
Desperado.
That's he's done so many good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
And it's not Star Wars. It's nothing with Star Wars.
I know what. The score to the Muppet movie.
He had nothing to do with that. And it wasn't even the movie. It was
yeah.
The TV show. He's
like, and now I should play for you my swan song.
There was an episode of The Family Guy where Brian becomes like a porn director or something. And he's at like their Oscars and where you get like the Woody. And so they're doing like best score for a porno.
Oh my
and
god.
So all these guys are like total scumbags, right? They're all like they have like cigarettes and they're all like
they're taking
you know,
us through
they
the
have
alternate
like
route.
Bellies, you know, hanging out of their shirts and stuff.
Oh my god, that is
and,
so funny.
You know, it's all this like boom chicka boom bam and it's like a synthesizer and like the last one is like John Williams and it's all
oh my god, no way!
And I think that he even wins. Like, John Williams wins for best.
Oh my god! John Williams.
Oh, Woody.
Oh my god.
No, seriously, what do you think? Like, out of everything he did.
Jeez. I don't know. One would think that. Did he do the original Superman or no?
Yeah.
Oh, he did. That's right.
That's
he did.
That's like probably my favorite.
Think so.
The one that I actually got goosebumps for was. The Jurassic Park one.
Oh,
you know when they're driving
da,
up.
Na, na, na,
yeah,
da,
yeah, that's
na,
so awesome.
That's right, yeah.
When they did the new movies, they don't use John Williams, and so it was
what?
Like, yeah, it was kind of like.
Why would they choose not to? That what a weird idea.
Yeah, well, they did that with Superman. We had to hear that.
Oh yeah.
That fucked up.
Oh.
No, like Superman is a dun 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun. That's what
yeah.
It is. Yeah, so it's not Superman.
Jeez.
It's not Star Wars. What do you think?
God, that's a tricky one. I'm trying to think what the heck else he did. Oh, Back to the Future he did.
No, that was someone else.
Oh, he didn't do Back to the Future?
It was the same
Why
guy.
Why the hell did I even think of
no,
that?
No, I think that was the same guy who did the Forrest Gump one.
Oh.
No. And when I say it, you're going to go, oh, why didn't I think about that?
Oh, what? What is it?
E.T.
Oh, my God. I forgot he did E.T.
Yeah, that's what he closes it with.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
na, 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 na,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. I forgot
and
he did E.T.
And one of the cool things he did, like, the whole beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. But they played it live.
Oh my god.
Say, dun, 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 dun.
Oh jeez.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jeez. My god, he's got so many
oh,
winning
like,
songs.
He's like, he does like Jaws.
Anthemic, like huge. Oh, he did Jaws too. What
Harry
the heck?
Potter.
Whoa, man.
And that's just like, there's other stuff. Like, I think there's like Schindler's List. He pretty much does like anything that Spielberg does.
Oh, that makes, oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, it's all Spielberg.
Mm-hmm. You know what score I remember as a kid that I loved? Do you remember The Last Starfighter?
Oh, yeah.
How come that movie has not been redone? In this time of day where video games are so, like, important to the kids' life.
Oh, wow.
How
yeah.
come we haven't redone Last Starfighter? That was such a great movie.
Wow.
And people shit on it because pretty much any sci-fi film that wasn't Star Wars, we shit on. But wow. that was one that had a lot of heart, and it was good.
Yeah. Wow, The Last Starfighter. Forgot about that one.
That was like one of those.
So that was, so it was a video game, and what,
It was what they referred to as like the Excalibur. So like they would put the game, and the kid would play, and then if the kid hit a certain score, then like the Zentari or something like that would come down, and goes, because he was good enough to fly the ship.
Oh, I see. So that was sort of their litmus test to see if they were
like
good.
Who's good enough to pull the sword from the stone.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't think they were called Zentari. For some reason, that name pops up. That might have been, like, the other guy. Because the guy who goes gets them was that guy from The Music Man. The
old
musical. Remember the Music Man or something like that?
Big breath, space, piccolo. So that guy showed up in...
No, that's like the main guy in Last Starfighter. Oh. He's like the
with the voice of the computer?
No, like in... He was the guy who put the video game in the trailer park, and then he went to go get him. He's kind of like their Obi-Wan Kenobi, but he was like almost like a used car salesman.
Oh!
Right? So he's
that's
more
cool
of like a borderline con man.
Oh...
See, that was like a movie that, some people really liked, some people didn't like. There were some good sci-fi movies back in the 80s that, would just rock it.
Wow.
Or Jeff Bridges and Starman.
Another good, I don't think I ever saw that. I always wanted to see that one.
You never saw Starman?
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow, that John Carpenter?
I still get, John Carpenter did that?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Holy cow.
John Carpenter and... Jeff Bridges.
What's the last thing that John Carpenter directed that you remember?
He went B-movie for the longest time. Did a lot of those vampire movies with like Christopher... No, not Christopher Walken.
Oh.
Was it Christopher Walken?
Oh, that's right. There were...
The last one that I can remember seeing in the movie theater where I still loved his stuff... Like, I think I saw, like, the vampire movie, but one that I absolutely loved where I knew it was John Carpenter going in was They Live.
Wow.
Because that was just, like, a combo of John Carpenter with Rowdy Roddy Piper. That mm-hmm. was, like, my life at that point. That was cool. And that's a movie that, talk about one that holds up. Like, man, they were, like, They Live and Escape from New York pretty much just, like, predicted the future.
Wow. So prophetic. I mean, everything about They Live, I mean, it's so funny
it's
how
fantastic.
People call it a documentary because it really...
Oh, it's so fantastic.
I'm so glad he was able to get away with that. Like, that's exposing everything.
He was kind of flying under the radar because after... I heard that after he did Big Trouble in Little China... He was so unhappy with the experience of dealing with the studios. Mm. He didn't want to do the studio movie anymore.
Oh.
And They Live was kind of like a high-budget B movie.
Oh.
But, that one held up. I don't think it did great in the movie theaters at the time, box office. But, man, just like Big Trouble in Little China, it held up. He's doing something. I think he's doing the score for the new Halloween movie.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's another, a reboot of it?
No, it's like they're going to act like no sequels ever happened.
That's awesome.
It literally just went from Halloween, like, forget the stuff about Michael Myers and Laurie Stroud being brother, sister, forget all that stuff.
Wait, so it's going to go straight from when to where?
From the first movie, where he gets shot and he falls off the balcony.
Really? Yeah. So this is, in a sense...
Like, the Halloween 2 didn't happen. None of that stuff happened. It's going to be tough for me because, you know, being such a fan, I'm going to have to erase all this stuff of, you know...
Wow.
Even though, you know, a lot of it's cheesy, but I have to still...
So they're going to say, okay, none of that happened. This is just
purely... None of it
purely...
happened. Yes, it was all a rumor. I forget exactly how they do it. We're going to start over, and it definitely looks more violent.
What? And so he is not going to direct it?
No, someone else is. But the guy from... I can't think of the dude's name. The guy from Pineapple Express. The comedian.
Danny McBride.
Yes, he wrote it. Or he wrote the first draft, so he gets, like, writing credit.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Is John Carpenter helping with writing?
Yeah, I think he's actually producing it and
interesting.
Doing
wow.
the score.
Well, if he's got the... You know, I guess if the originator, the creator of something like that is behind it, and you would... You know, you'd hope that if they put their stamp of approval on it, it fulfills a vision that they fully endorse, I suppose.
Yeah, like,
fits along in their universe.
Well, I'm pretty sure, like, John Carpenter's been asked to go do many Halloweens and stuff, and once you get to a certain point, you just don't want to do them anymore.
Hmm.
I mean, that's like, what else do you have left in you? You know, give
yeah.
it to someone else who could... put a new spin on it and make it interesting. Like, I just have, like, you know, one more Bloody Bobby type film in me, and then, you know, now that I don't own all the rights, maybe, like, Shada will just run with it and we give it to someone else.
Wow.
You know, it's like, I guess it would be cool, though, if you're just, like, if someone came up to you and says, okay, here's, like, this amount of dollars, and, like, every year you're just gonna do a sequel to this. Like, you're gonna do, like, 32 Planet of the Apes movies or something. And, like, that would be totally cool, because, like, the rest of your life. But also, how boring would that be? Like, oh, I have to do another, you know...
Well, I suppose it'd be the same...
$6 million film.
I guess it would be similar to, doing a TV show where you're basically...
True.
You know, if it's an hour each episode, and then you got, like, I don't know, 18 episodes or something.
But even then, they bring in new actors, you know, directors and writers, and, you know, to keep it fresh. But
oh,
can you
yeah,
imagine? It would be almost a prison, especially, like, what year do you just get old? Like, oh, my God, like, year three. You know, I have, you know, 17 more years of this shit. I can't.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's this book
yeah, the same it, problems, right. the same... BS of, you know, people telling you, you know, stuff and annoying you. And,
yeah. Yeah, that I see what you
so
mean.
So it could have its, like, drawbacks, that's for sure. Or you could just be, like, kind of doing, like, Lloyd Kaufman type movies where you're all, fuck it, I don't care.
That's right.
Dolphin Man meets Toxic Avenger. Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Wow. We don't need a script. We'll just make it up on the fly.
Oh, my God. Just make it up on the fly.
Yeah, we don't need a script. Let's improvise.
Oh, my God. It's a Dana Carvey on that. That was crazy. He's going to be playing at that place. But, yeah, I can imagine that could probably get pretty old. And I guess... Also, just to entertain yourself, I can imagine that's where those sequels of taking it into space or taking it, you know, heck, into the center of the earth, taking it...
Like in the Leprechaun movies, like Leprechaun, you know, they're all crap, but you have Leprechaun, and then you do Leprechaun 2, and then you go, oh, let's put, what do we, you know, do? Let's put them in the hood. So then they put them in the hood, and it's, like, halfway decent. So then they do, like, Leprechaun in Space. That one doesn't do good. So let's bring them back to the hood. Now it's Leprechaun back to the hood.
Bring them back to the hood. You know, it's so funny. There's so many things that, like, directions you could go in. I mean, let's say, for instance, even with, like, like Halloween or something. I mean, what if Michael Myers is like cryogenically frozen and he's taken on some big ship, some big battleship across?
That was like.
Did they already do something like that?
Jason X, or Friday the
13th. Oh, he was out in space, right?
Yeah, he got frozen and there was like a super version in space of Jason. And that actually has like this, like one of the best deaths of any Friday the 13th came from that movie. Like, what's that liquid oxygen stuff that freezes you? What is that stuff called?
Nitroglycerin?
Yes, he dumps her face in it.
Oh, jeez. It turns to ice or whatever?
Yeah, then he pulls her out, and then he, like, shatters her against, like,
oh, my God. Like, you've seen all those movies, like, okay, you dip your hand in there, all of a sudden it turns into, like, this ice hand. I think Penn & Teller has done a few of those.
Really?
Yeah, where they stick their hands in there, and it'd be, like, break it on a table or something.
Have fun.
All right, dude. Thanks a lot. Thanks for everything. That was fun. It was a lot of fun. All right, man. Take care. All right. So there you have it, folks. Ryan McGonagall, director, creator, imagineer of Bloody Bobby, Diablo Steel, and a host of other movies. Keep your eyes open for those. This concludes tonight's broadcast of Inspirato Projecto Podcast. We will talk to you more later. Bye-bye.
Every time I listen to Inspirato Projecto, I hear these new kids talking about Yachtly Jew. Yachtly Jew did this. Yachtly Jew did that. What are they, my sugar nut? When's it ever going to end? What are we going to do here? I don't get it. You have a Nathan's hot dog. They're kosher.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Tauratsky. You have such extraordinary points of view. Thank you very much for your insightful opinions. And of course, of your rambunctious opinions.
I'm not going to get deep into it right now. However, some of you know that I'm a pretty big fan of Andy Kaufman and the idea of him faking his death May 16th, 1984. It all started with AndyKaufmanLives.com, and then it went to Twitter under the handle TheAndyKaufman. That person that runs it, his name is Stephen Maddox, and one of his accounts on YouTube called PuzzMent, P-U-Z-Z space M-E-N-T, and that's short for Puzzle Mentory. That's a whole explanation. However, there was a movie documentary called The Death of Andy Kaufman, all about trying to find Andy Kaufman and trying to figure out who Stephen Maddox was in relation to Andy Kaufman. So this is about a week ago. This is a review for the movie The Death of Andy Kaufman. Someone reviewed it. So PuzzMent left a little message here. I thought it's kind of interesting. You ask, what would be the point of Andy coming back and revealing his trick? This was never his plan. If he did that, it would just be a trick. The plan is this. After the death of their father, Michael was to have Andy's grave exhumed. Then Andy would be a legend, bigger than Jimmy Hoffa and Houdini rolled into one. For centuries, people would marvel and wonder, how did he pull it off? The problem is that it seems as though Michael may be playing the only card he has left. It is possible
Michael is delaying or postponing the exhumation in an attempt to force his brother to contact him. This will never happen. The ball is in Michael's court. As with all things Michael, it is safe to assume he may drop it. If Michael resigns his part of the agreement, the only hope for Andy's legendary status would be for Lynn Margulies or Linda Mitchell to come forward and have the grave exhumed. And below that, someone commented, someone named Butter on Corn commented, "The first frame of the Book of Illusion was shot on Thursday morning, May 17th, 1984. The last frame has yet to be created." If you get the chance, look, go on to archive.org, and there's a little thing up there called the Wayback Machine. Look under andykaufmanlives.com. Look in the Wayback Machine and check out the evolution of that site and all the crazy stuff that used to be on that. It'll flip your brain. Also, keep your eyes peeled for the documentary Kaufman Lives. You can search for the hashtag Kaufman Lives online, and you'd be very surprised by what you find.
We would be glad, though, to come over to your house and film the last minute of it. You see, kill off the first 4 minutes and then watch you rise.
Okay.
How far have you moved around?
Oh,
have you taken a long trip?
Because it would look weird if somebody just saw me climb. So I stay in my backyard pretty much, and I look at the trees, and I've learned, and I look at the birds, and kind of, you know how you talk to a dog, sometimes you go, arf, arf, like that?
I do.
Yeah.
I got a great one. Just now, do you do that too?
Well, I'm not as well as you, but I try, to communicate with the dogs that way. And I don't know what I'm saying, but apparently I must be saying something to them. So I do the same thing with the birds.
But you talk to the birds?
Tweet, 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 tweet. Like that.
That's fun,
yeah.
Andy.
Oh, yes, and by the way, thank you very much, Forgotten Tales, for giving us, dear listeners, another exciting episode of the Different Strokes Revival. Television, radio, program. We here at Inspirato Projecto Radio Podcast Broadcast Channel Network. We here fully appreciate each and every contribution that you give and share with this collaborative experience. May you and your mind and your imagination continue to harvest lots and lots of delicious and nutritious informationals. Take care, goodbye, and keep that in mind.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.